So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, we praise him. So we are in the book of 2 Timothy, and today we start chapter 2. And we continue to see the clear guidance that Paul has for his son Timothy in the faith, and his desire to see that he is established, the desire to see that he is focused. You know, as a servant of God and as a young preacher, he needed the mentorship of Paul, and this makes a big difference in his life. And even the words that we read and the words that we understand, we know these are words of a last man, these are words of an elder, of an apostle, his final words, and they hold great weight for us. So we, as we're able to read them, then we can be able to make sense and to know that these are key for spiritual life. So chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You know, strength, and this is something that we've been learning over time. When the Bible speaks of strength, we often think of young men. You know, we often think that strength comes from, you know, chariots, some strength. Strength is in the arm of strength. They believe in their muscles. But David has always said, "My strength is in the Lord." You know, "My strength is in the name of the Lord." You know, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord encamps around those who fear him. So there is always a strength that we are called to stand in. You know, we are called to stand in the Lord, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There is a strength that comes from being in the Lord, from knowing who he is. And beyond that also, there is a strength that comes from the grace of the Lord. That means grace. Remember, grace has different definitions. Grace is unmerited favor, that which that you do not deserve. But also grace is the divine empowerment that comes from God. So in the Bible says that you have received mercy. You know it is not of your human effort. You know it is not of your capacity, but it is grace that works in us. Paul was very keen to say, "It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God." So there is a certain faith that helps us to navigate the challenges of life, that helps us to understand, that helps us to know God in a deeper way, but also helps us to be victorious. And so Paul is very keen to remind Timothy that you need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, in that mercy, in that divine enablement that is in Christ Jesus. And he now tells him now the importance of raising other believers. And he says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses," or in the presence of many witnesses, "commit this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Entrust this to faithful men who will in turn be qualified to teach others. So there is a principle that we know in Scripture, and this was the pattern of Jesus about discipleship. Now Jesus took his time with his 12 disciples, and then he told them, "Likewise, you too, go and make disciples of all nations. In the same way that you saw how I lived with you, I stayed with you 3.5 years. They were together daily. They experienced the teaching. They experienced the practicalities of ministry, the practicalities of message. They understood Christ in and out, and then they were empowered and they were sent. And likewise to Timothy, he's being told, this is the same pattern that you have seen in me. And he says, the things which you have seen, the things which you have heard from me, this also you're going to entrust to faithful men. You can see there are already four layers here of disciples. There is Paul, who is the first teacher. Then he has taught Timothy. Timothy, remember, was walking with Paul in every missionary journey. He was a close confidant and companion. And so Timothy is the second generation. Then after that, Timothy is told, the things you had me, Paul say, entrust to faithful men. So the faithful men are the third generation. And then the Bible says, beyond that, this faithful man will be qualified to teach others. You know, so there is a certain chain reaction of the message that must continue from person to person, from you to your children, from your children to the next generation, from you to people who you'll be mentoring, and those who you mentor will find other, you know, faithful men and entrust it to them. And in this faithful men will also commit it to others. So there's a perpetuity of the gospel that must continue. And any believer that is faithful, anyone that has been brought up according to the gospel, will be brought up to be a discipler. Any disciple must be a discipler. The end goal of discipleship is to raise mature believers. And we know in the natural, maturity is marked by reproduction. So likewise, we too in the faith, when we start to also produce people after our own kind, when we start to produce, when we start to evangelize, when we start to disciple, when we start to raise believers, then also we can see that we have grown into maturity. So maturity, of course, is marked by fatherhood, is marked by being able to raise others, other spiritual children. And when you see God starts to bring people under you that he wants you to also mentor and also to raise, then already those are some of the indicators that God has started to qualify. You can see this. The Bible says that entrust to faithful men who will also be able to teach others. So the pattern of discipleship is the same. Look for faithful men, entrust it to them, teach them, and then send them forth. And this is the place of faithfulness. Remember, we always say, if you want to be used by God, you must be faithful, you must be available, and you must be teachable. I call it the FAT principle. If you're faithful, then God will entrust things to you. If you're available, then God can use you, because there are people who are not available. Yes, they have been given the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yes, they have been empowered. They have been given responsibilities, but they are not available to be used by God. Yes, they are sent to territories where God needs servants, but yet they are not available to be used by God. And then beyond that, the need for teachability. If, you know, find faithful men who will be able, available to teach others also. Verse 3. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, with civilian affairs, but that he may please him whom enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. You know, Paul gives a comparison of what the Christian journey or the Christian faith is like. And he gives three illustrations that are important, and that if you actually take time to sit on it, then you will understand what it means to be a believer. The first illustration, of course, that is given is that a good soldier. And it says you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. Soldiers, you know, are actually people that are separated from the normal society. Whenever you meet a soldier in any country that is worth its salt, the soldiers stay in barracks. They have set aside locations of training. They have set aside locations where they live. They are basically separated from the normal affairs. Whenever you meet a soldier, you can clearly see the difference between the general population and the soldiers. Soldiers, there's a training that they've undergone that actually, sadly, many die even in that training. But that training is supposed to harden them. That training is supposed to teach them the ways of their commanding officers, the ways of the army, the ways of being in enlisting. You know what it means, discipline. They are taught to take commands. They don't argue with their superiors. They take commands as it is. They face with courage. Now, think of it as a believer. You stay, you are separated. Yes, you are in this world, but you are not of this world. There is a separation that God puts in you, in your thoughts, in your mind, correcting you, changing you, that you have a mindset that you know you are not a civilian. Now, any believer that understands there is a soldier will know that then they are sent to a post. They don't leave. You know, there's this song that says, I'll be a good soldier, I'll die at my post. That means that they know that when they are sent, they go. The centurion said, I myself am a man under authority. You know, I speak to this servant, go, and he goes. I speak to this man, do this, and he does that. Likewise, I too, when I am sent, I go, because I am a man under authority. And he tells Jesus, just send the word, and your servant will be healed. And Jesus says, I have not seen such great faith in Israel. And he tells him, go, and your servant shall be healed. So you can see there is something about soldiers that when we examine, when we follow what is expected of them, then we can understand there is a separation that God expects of the believer. And Timothy is told, endure hardship. Yes, there is a call for endurance. There is a call for training. There is a call for difficulties. There is a call for combatant. You know, soldiers are always at war. You know, they are always fighting. They are ready to defend. Why? Because that is what they were meant to do. Spiritual warfare is a continuous fight. Whether you are ignorant of it, it does not mean that the enemy is going to rest and say, oh, let me give him a break. No. The enemy will continually be raising warfare against you, against your church, against your family, because he is at war. Some people say, oh, just ignore the devil and the devil will ignore you. No, you must know. You must not be ignorant of his schemes. He sets up schemes, be it in the office, be it with people that we think are our friends. It is possible for the devil to set traps for us. And unless we submit ourselves to God, unless we humble ourselves, when the Bible says, pray that you do not fall into temptation, it is easy for us to fall victim to the traps of the devil. So if God guides us, then we can escape the traps of the enemy. And that's where you can see the first illustration is a soldier. When you think of soldiers, you must think of believers. Christians must be good soldiers. Number two is told, the athlete. There is no athlete that wants to compete, that really wants to win, that does not go into strict training. I think you know of how these athletes, these marathon runners, their diet is changed. The kind of food that is eat is controlled. You know, there are certain foods that they don't eat. They have a schedule. There's a certain time they sleep. There's a certain time they have to wake up. There's a certain rigorous exercise, stretching of their muscles, stretching of their energy levels. They push themselves to peak performance. You know how athletes train. In fact, they usually say, you train hard, you know, then you compete easy. You know, you train hard, you win easy. But if you take it lightly in training, then the competition will overpower you. You know, their coaches are very keen. They will watch the training across the week. And then they will say, okay, this one you did not train well, you're not going to play. Why? Because they know this is a competition. We are striving. We are competing against the forces of the enemy. The Christian must continually train. And beyond that, you see, an athlete that wants to be crowned must compete according to the rules. There are rules in athletics. If you are on your track, you're not supposed to cross into the lane of another person. And sadly, some people, out of ignorance, they do that. You see, they're running, and yes, they win the race, but because at some point they crossed into the line of another, they infringed into the race of another, they are disqualified. There are rules to our Christian walk. There are rules that God expects us to guide. And each of our rules, yes, there are general rules that God gives. I mean, the rule of love and all that. But then also there are individualized, customized consecrations that God will expect of each and every person that he has called to serve him. There are certain things that God will expect of you. And when God demands of them, he says that no one competing as an athlete that wants to be crowned competes without following the rules. God expects us to go as per the guidelines. Look at the third aspect. He says the hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. Christianity is compared to farming. It's compared to a farmer. A Christian is like a hardworking farmer. Day in, day out, they plant the crops. They wait for the rains. The rains come. When the shoots come out, they go and do thinning and weeding. You know, they take out the weeds. They remove the excess plants. They ensure that the plants that are coming out have sufficient nutrients. They protect the farms from animals. They protect it from insects. They spray. You know, they ensure that the fruit has everything that it needs to thrive. Then the Bible says, then the hardworking farmer will come and collect his crop. He will come and collect his reward. God is saying, as a Christian, as a believer, as one that is committed to the faith, the more you labor in the Lord, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. He told the Corinthians that, always know this, that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. God expects us to be laboring for the things of God, to be laboring in the kingdom, to work hard for the kingdom of God. We have a God that sees our labors. At times it might look like no one is watching. It might look like, why am I being burdened by this? It might look like it is a waste of time, but I assure you, there is a God who sees. There is a God who takes record. There is a God who is in charge over every circumstance. There is a God who knows what it means to be there when others are not there, to go on time. There is a God that marks these things. And when the time for the reward comes, the Bible says, behold, I am coming with the reward in my hand to give each man according to his works. The Lord is not unjust. He will not forget your labors in which how you minister to the saints. We must not give up. We must not be weary. We must have faith that, you know what, after all this that we have done, there is a heaven that awaits us. There is an eternal reward that far outweighs them all. Yes, Christ has gone ahead of us, but also we also come in his footsteps. Now, as believers, we must know that the hardworking farmer must be the first. When you work hard in the things of God, God will ensure that you have no debt with him. In fact, God does not keep any debt with anyone. If it is not fulfilled in you, it will be fulfilled in your children. Abraham thought that, you know, he hoped to experience all that he asked, but he was told, don't worry. It is in your seed that your children shall be called out. His seed is Christ. Look at every blessing that Abraham was to experience is fulfilled in Christ. By him, all the nations of the earth are blessed. By him, the entire world, heaven and earth, was willed to him. Every blessing that of Abraham is fulfilled in the seed, in Christ. And that is why we must never give up. And that's why Paul tells Timothy, look here, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all these things. Understanding is so important because it is what it establishes truth. When you think deeply over a matter, when you meditate over a matter, when you start to reason, when you have a topic to preach on, and even 2 weeks ahead, 1 week ahead, you start to meditate on it. You think on it. You think through. The more you meditate on it, the Bible says, the entrance of your word bringeth light and understanding to the simple, making wise the simple. God sheds light. God sheds light. God sheds light. By wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. Understanding will establish you. And understanding comes from the Lord. And I pray that even as we continually study the Word of God, read it on our own, whether alone or with others, let us receive the Spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may understand the riches, the utmost blessings that God has poured out for us as believers, and let us stick to what we have been called to. Let us be good soldiers. You know,
Let us be committed athletes, athletes that are want to be crowned, that compete fairly according to the rules. And let us be the hardworking farmers who shall be the first partakers of the crop that of our labors. I pray that God gives us understanding in all these things, and may his word be praised. My brother,
you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. No addition from my side.
Amen. Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. Thank you that continually you speak to us in a language that we understand, and you give us understanding. Thank you that you've called us to be faithful, indeed to be available, to teach others, to be entrusted with the mysteries of Christ. I thank you for our lives. Thank you for the church. I remember your children. Thank you for those that need your touch today, those that are committed to you, those that are looking unto you for strength, those that may have given up, O God, that, Lord, your hand, your power shall be upon them. Remember them, strengthen them, encourage them, O God. Thank you for every journey that shall be made, O God, your divine protection, cover, and healing, O God. I thank you even for those that need your hand, O God. May they see your promises. May they see your hand. May they experience your favor. We come against every spirit of discouragement, every spirit of delay, and every attacks of the evil one against your children, O God. Remember our families, watch over them, and be with them. Until we meet again, may your grace and power be with us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed, blessed day.